If you get a bloody gash or break a bone, you seek medical attention. It's generally that simple. With mental health, it gets more complicated, both in people being aware they need help and in seeking it out. We visit with the people of Southern Oregon Compass House on a regular basis for a segment we call Compass Radio, the point being to hear the real stories of people who've worked through mental health challenges. And in this month's edition of Compass Radio, the focus is suicide. Southern Oregon Compass House member Linda endured physical and sexual abuse as a child. Later in life, she attempted suicide multiple times. But she worked to break that cycle and is now a peer counselor for fellow clubhouse members. She shared her story with Bryce Harding at Compass House. This is ultimately a story of hope. It did take a long time for Linda to get there, and we should warn you that this can be triggering for people with suicidal thoughts.
I was about ninth grade when I first started trying to commit suicide. And as I got older, and I stopped doing it like about 3 years ago.
Do you have an approximate estimation of maybe how many attempts you've made?
About 60 by cutting. And I just, one day I decided I can't do it anymore. And with the help and support of my friends and Compass House, I overcame those barriers.
So I think a lot of people who have not had to deal with mental illness and have not been in a place where they've considered or attempted suicide probably have a hard time wrapping their mind around what would lead a person to do that. Could you maybe tell us a little bit about where you were in your life, what you were feeling that led to your attempting suicide?
I didn't really understand what caused it. But I, as I got older, I realized with the stuff I've been through my whole life, which was leading me into wanting to commit suicide, not having the support that I thought I didn't have, being harassed by people, my molestation, my rapes that I went through, it started building up and building up, and my being abused by the men that I was supposed to trust.
So you have dealt with a lot of abuse?
Yes, both emotionally, physically, and sexually.
So you had gone through quite a bit then by fairly young age?
Third grade, by my uncle.
Do you have any idea that you can put into terms that other folks may understand?
It affected me a lot in my whole adult life by not trusting people. It's hard to explain, but as I got the skills, I can actually trust people now. Mm-hmm. And if I get to that point of suicide, I know there's people and resources out there I can go to.
I want to ask if you can tell me maybe a little bit more about your mindset in your attempts. What did you feel like? How did you get to the point just emotionally where that's what you did?
I felt like nobody cared. Why be alive if there's nobody there that actually cares? And that's exactly how I felt, that nobody would even notice I was gone. But as I got older and I met a really good support system, and they've been there when I'm having my bad days, they're there, that I know they'll be there and will talk me down. And I want to be able to help those overcome those barriers that I've went through.
You still seem pretty impacted by the things that had happened previously, and it also sounds like it's still sometimes a struggle for you.
It is. It's always going to be a struggle, and that's why I want to help those to be able to overcome those barriers that I have and learn the different skills there is out there, and that know that people will know there are people like myself that actually care.
Are there specific circumstances that for you make lead you to start having those feelings, or is it something that just kind of happens? Can you tell me a little bit more about when that feeling comes on?
Stress, anxiety, if I'm getting overwhelmed, I get that urge of wanting to do it, but I know that's not going to help, and I know there's people it would traumatize if anything ever happened. And I've also made that promise to really good friends of mine that if I ever got to that position, I will reach out for help.
We want to let people know about more resources than Compass House. Are there any specific things that you got access to, got pushed to try that helped you?
I'd taken DBT, dialectical behavior therapy classes, which helped me a lot. I know there's crisis that you can talk to. There's other peer support that's been through the same situations that I can talk to. And then knowing that you have a good support system is very helpful.
When you were younger, it sounds like you didn't have quite as strong a support system. Could you maybe talk a little bit about what that felt like? You've mentioned that feeling that maybe people wouldn't miss you. But I do know that feeling isolated can have a really, really tremendous impact on someone's mental health. Would you mind talking about that a little bit?
At the time, like 3 years ago, I didn't feel like I had anybody at all. My mom, she only called when she wanted. My dad, who knows, he didn't really care because he was an abuser himself towards me physically. And I just didn't really care and didn't feel like I had anybody I could actually reach to until 3 years ago.
You talked about your friends, people you know now, who will ask you how you're doing. Being able to discuss feeling suicidal, or at least extremely stressed, like you've mentioned, requires a level of openness that maybe some folks would not feel very comfortable with, would have a hard time discussing those feelings. What would you say to folks who are having those feelings but are not necessarily discussing them?
What I would say to somebody feeling like that, there are people that actually care, and just to reach out, come to Compass House and come see me, because I will talk to you and we can work on it. I will walk you to crisis or whatever it takes.
What have been people's responses when you have been open? Because I know for myself, when I want to have a conversation with someone that is maybe difficult or requires a lot of openness out of me, it's easy to imagine kind of worst case. Is that something you experienced? And what kind of responses did you get from folks?
A lot of times when I've talked to people, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you've been through so much hell. And I'm like, that's why I'm taking the steps that I'm taking to better myself so I can help other people to overcome, because I've been through it all. And I just want people to know they are worth something. You may not think you're worth anything, but you are.
That is Linda, a clubhouse member at Compass House of Southern Oregon in Medford, talking to Bryce Harding at the house for this month's edition of Compass Radio. We now have a couple of studio guests to talk to. Elizabeth Hazelwood is the executive director at Southern Oregon Compass House. Elizabeth, always good to see you.
Thank you.
And we have on the phone Rick Rollins, who is a licensed clinical social worker and Jackson County's mental health crisis and outpatient services manager. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
So when Linda talked about, I'll help you out, I'll walk you to crisis, did she mean you?
Correct. Yeah, Jackson County Mental Health, we have a 24/7 crisis line, and also during business hours, Monday through Friday, people can come into our crisis department, and we have therapists available to see them by walk-in.
What are the opening steps? I mean, if somebody has gotten so low in life, they think that they don't need to live life anymore. I mean, how do you begin to bring them back and point them in a different direction?
A lot of it is giving them the opportunity to just start reconnecting and talking about their stress in their life. Suicide is often related to a loss of hope, being overwhelmed, being stressed, a loss of position or role in their life, and feeling like there's no way out. And so as we're talking with them, we're looking for things that we can hook them into in the future of some positive, some support. One of the things Linda talked about was really the isolation that occurred, and that's part of what we're trying to help people get reconnected with friends, family. The isolation increases the risk, and if they can get reconnected and have some other people around, then the risk can be decrease.
It increases the sense of what she talked about, where you're to let people know that there are people that actually care.
Correct.
So at Compass House, Elizabeth Hazelwood, is Linda's story a fairly frequent one? I'm just curious to know how often suicidal ideation gets in there along with the other issues of mental illness.
It is very common. A lot of times when especially new members come, they report feeling like there's just no reason to live anymore and there's no reason to get up in the morning. And oftentimes people feel that the world would be better off if they weren't there, which is not true. But when you have those feelings of hopelessness on a daily basis, it's hard to see past that and to see that there are people that care and there are reasons to live.
Are there any particular people who are especially attuned for this in staffing at Southern Oregon Compass House? Any particular protocols you have to deal with people who are seeing like they're very close to the edge?
Absolutely. One of the things that we really strive to do is build relationships. And when you get to know people, you can recognize signs. And when people stop coming in all of a sudden or are really withdrawn and don't want to talk to other people, it's usually a pretty good sign that things are happening. And taking the time to sit down and talk and having the crisis center nearby and also being able to reach out to clinicians that can help before things go past the point of being able to step in and take outpatient kind of resources and interventions.
Rick Rollins, is there a usual timeline for bringing somebody back from the edge if they're really thinking seriously about suicide or have attempted it? I mean, how long it sort of takes to get a situation stabilized and and get people to agree to stay with us?
So suicide, the risk can increase. I mean, you can have some level of kind of suicidal thoughts, but when somebody is actively going to attempt suicide, typically there's about a 24 to 48, sometimes 72-hour really increased risk period. And so at that point, we really want to make sure that they are not left alone, that we're looking at do they have any weapons, handguns being the most lethal. So we want to make sure that they don't have access to lethal means to kill themselves and that they have other people around them really for about a three-day period. If we can get them through that crisis period, then we can start connecting them into other services and ongoing treatment. But we want to make sure that during that increased risk, they know that there are people around and there's resources that they can connect with, whether it be the crisis line or their therapist, or even if it's just a friend, a neighbor. I think people may be hesitant to ask somebody the question of whether or not they are suicidal for fear that they're going to plant an idea in the person's mind. But if you realize that their life is so miserable that suicide may be an option, then they may have contemplated it as well and ask the question, get that conversation going, because then you can get help.
This seems to come up every time we talk about suicide, and it seems important enough that we need to mention it every time, that you're not going to put an idea in somebody's head that wasn't there already.
Correct. Yeah. If you realize that their life is really struggling and the suicide may be an option, it's gone through their mind as well. And by talking about it, it opens up the opportunity for them to finally feel relief that there's somebody else around that can help them, as opposed to the ongoing isolation that no one cares that Linda talked about.
This is Compass Radio on the Jefferson Exchange. Rick Rollins is the Crisis and Outpatient Services Manager at Jackson County Mental Health. Elizabeth Hazelwood is the Executive Director at Southern Oregon Compass House. And Compass House, again, is a clubhouse where people are in the same boat, which must really help. It. I mean, when you get people who, they've had the same situation I've had.
Absolutely. Linda is a great example of how an environment that is supportive and you don't feel judged, you feel as part of something, can really help people bloom. In the last year especially, she has become almost a different person, and it's beautiful and magical to watch.
So given that we talk about the mental health funding in our country, Rick Rollins, and I wonder how big an issue that is for your ability to be able to find people who can help people in situations of crisis.
So here in Oregon, there's actually been additional funding through the Affordable Care Act and the expansion of Medicaid. We do have providers here at Jackson County Mental Health. There's other agencies here locally that also have therapists. If people are looking for services, usually they're able to access services here locally. That may not have always been the case, but currently they're readily available. Again, if they just need crisis services, they can always call Jackson County Mental Health, our crisis line, 24/7. We have therapists available.
Can you give that number now?
Yeah, I can give that number. It's 541-774-8201.
Okay, 774-8201, area code 541. So for those of us who are not trained in any way and you know, essentially lay people don't know what to do in a situation where we're confronted with somebody who is clearly thinking about harming themselves, what are the things we should do, Rick?
Well, I think if you have somebody that you're concerned may be thinking of suicide, the first thing is really just to talk to them and ask the question really outright, are you thinking of killing yourself? Are you thinking of suicide? And asking it really clear so that they're not confused about hurting themselves. Sometimes if you ask the question, are you thinking of hurting yourself? And they'll say, no, I don't want to hurt. But if you ask it clearly, are you thinking of killing yourself? Then you can have that conversation.
So be honest and be upfront about it. Be straightforward.
Right.
So at Compass House, I mean, do you get situations like this where people are talking about it in the house?
Yes, absolutely. It is something, and that people feel safe at Compass House. So people are more apt to be honest about their feelings, which then gives the opportunity to seek the help that they need at that moment.
We have to go in just a few seconds here, but I understand you have a chance for people to come to get to know you a little better at Compass House coming up. This is a fairly rare opportunity to come in and just sort of browse. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. On Tuesday the 12th, we are having an open house from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Stop by anytime. You can get a tour and meet the staff and our amazing members and really see how we operate and what we do.
And where is Compass House?
It's at 332 West 6th Street in Medford.
All righty. All right. That is Elizabeth Hazelwood, who's the executive director at Southern Oregon Compass House. Rick Rawlins is with Jackson County Mental Health Crisis and Outpatient Services Manager. Thanks again to Linda for sharing her story with us and for Bryce Harding for getting it all captured in the recording. And that has been another edition of Compass Radio on the Jefferson Exchange.